new shoes on. I'm just kidding about that, kind of. Well, I meant, you know, this needs to be said with grace, and we don't want to be offensive. So. In the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter number 12, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and if you find the place you're able to stand, we're going to be looking at about verse number 13. And great singing, by the way, this morning. All of that is just a blessing all the way around, and we thank the Lord for that. And so in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, and whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank You for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost and lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Solomon was the son of David, and you'll find out that according unto the testimony of the Lord, there's not been a person that would be wiser unless you were to include Jesus Christ, but He was not born of a man and a woman. He was born of a virgin, but you'll find Jesus, we know, is wiser than all, but there's not a man born upon the face of this earth that was wiser than Solomon. And that he done some stupid stuff. You'll find out that all them 700 combines, concubines, or whatever you call them, stole his heart away. Why do you think we always tell these boys and girls that you better make sure that you get somebody, that you get interested in somebody that loves God, that loves the Bible, or you'll have to contend with them the rest of your life? In this Bible lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out Solomon was such a man that he wrote 3,000 Proverbs. That's pretty smart, isn't it? He wrote 1,005 songs that it's mentioned there. And let me tell you something, is that we are born into a world that's winding down. We're not winding up, we're winding down. I guarantee you right now is you're on your way out. And you know, there's not anything that irritates me anymore than for some man, woman, boy, girl, group, I don't care who they are, come along and to say about our church that nobody wants to serve the Lord. I've been here 31 years, friend. Some of you have been here ever since the day we opened up. I'm going to tell you, being at the post of duty is very, very remarkable. And by the way, let me say to you that, if you will, is that I know we've had a lot come and a lot go, and I'm saddened about all the times that they have to go. I'm saddened about all the times that I have to be able to be the one that gets the blame for. I'm a big boy, though. I've even got my big boy britches on. See? I want to tell you that make no mistake about it. We're living in a world, we're winding this thing down. We're certainly not going to wind it up. I don't know about you, but when you get my age, you're going to be able to notice that there's a few kinks, aches, and pains that are in your winder. That's true. That is true. That's the reason why. And listen, I mean, you were gracious and all that and kind of chuckled a little bit, you know, maybe with disgust, but well, you chuckled a little bit anyway whenever I was talking about the Aggie woman in the beauty parlor. I want to apologize if you are an Aggie because I feel sorry for you. I love you in spite of whoever you do may or may not be. I'm a Texas Longhorn man myself. Well, I liked the Dallas Cowboys until finally, you know, they got to where they were losing right and left and all that business there. I'm sort of like the old boy, you know, that seen two Dallas Cowboy tickets laying on his dash. And he looked in there, he noticed the window was not rolled all the way up. It was rolled down enough he could stick his head. And he took those two he had in his pocket, stuck his arm in there and laid them by them other two that were on the dash. No reflection on whoever. I will say this, they did show some decency about Charlie Kirk and they had it, they stood in silence, and they stood there in memory of, as a memorial unto Mr. Kirk, the day that he was assassinated, and after when they had their next game. I don't get to see them anymore. I would watch them, but I don't get to see them. And the reason being is because my station and all that right there hadn't paid their bill to that station that funds it over and this and that. So therefore, I've missed the Little League World Series for the last two or three years. I've missed the championship Dallas games and stuff that have been played. I've missed all of that right there. Of course, that may be why I'm having such withdrawal pains or something. I just wanted to say to you, make no mistake about it, that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, you'll find is that we are born into a world that's winding down. It's not winding up, it's going down. And let me tell you what number one is in this lesson that we're looking at, life is short. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but life is passing by pretty quickly. Hey, did I mention to you that Saturday is opening day of bow season? Well, I know I did, but I wanted to say it again, and the reason being is that you know, my son's a game warden. He's got to go rest somebody here after church. You know the reason why? They've shot a nice big buck off the road somewhere. I hope you pistol whip them when you get there. I mean, I hope that's nowhere near where my little old niece is at. And if it is, I hope they absolutely just flogging. In this Bible lesson as you're looking at, you're going to find life is short. Make no mistake about it. The Bible said in the book of Job, chapter number 14, verse number 1, man that's born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Yes, now, I want to tell you right now there's a host of you in here that don't know what a few days and full of trouble is because you're not married. And if you are married, you don't have children. And if you do have children, some of you men are in trouble for trying to get on to them children because mama comes like Superman, tries to defend that little lovely darling. I get tickled some of these son-in-laws of mine because when they go to tell something, you know, about that's going to be in the family there that could get them in a little bit of trouble, they do this here. Before they try to tell you. Yeah. I've been in this business long enough to be able to see some of you that are like that right there. Well, how are you doing? I'll tell you. And they do tell it. Old Brother Nathan there, how long y'all been married now? 3 months? 2 months? About 2.5 months. I asked his wife, one day whenever he was a little sniffling and all that business there, I said, let me ask you this. Does he whine whenever? Yeah, he whines. He's a whiner. I said, well, hey, he's always been a whiner. But she stands up for him pretty good. She stands up pretty good. I want to say to you that man that is born a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Do you know that today's the youngest day of the rest of your life? If you're going to do anything for God and trust the Lord and be busy for God, you better get at it. I remember when this young man sitting, I remember when the first time that he had a birthday. You remember how old he was? A decade. I said, well, how old are you? Because we were going to sing happy birthday. And he said, a decade? Well, I remember, God bless you, buddy. I'm glad you knew that I knew what a decade was. I thought I was going to have to be able to look around and ask somebody, what's a decade? And let me tell you, it's been a long time. We've come a long ways together. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find that life is short. Look how fast that has passed us by. In this lesson here that you're looking at, let me tell you, life is not only part of it, but in verse number 1 of this same chapter, he said, remember thy creator. You know what the reason why the world's a mess it's in? We got our eyes off the creator as a nation. I mean, used to, we were proud to have on our money. In God we trust. And then they have a bunch of those communist-minded women come on the scene, and crazy men and people, you know, that are there in the Democratic Party that hate God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. I want to say to you that, if you will, is life is not only short, but you find that our learning ability is going to be a short span as well. You know, when you learn something, the very first thing you've got to learn is, remember when you learned you were a sinner? Remember when you learned that, hey, I'm lost and undone without God? Well, if you can't remember that, you don't know that, you say, well, no, I've never been to that, then you're still lost in your sin. Because life is a process of learning by the Spirit of the Lord and by the Word of God. And whenever you learn that you were lost without God and needed a Savior and could not save yourself, what a wonderful day that was. It was trembling to my soul, no doubt, but I'm glad God did. I'm glad God reached down, snatched me as a brand from the burning, and saved my soul from a devil's hell. I want to say to you that whenever you learn that you're a sinner, I hope you've learned that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And no man can come to the Father except through Him and by Him. Then thirdly, you're going to find out that in this life, that when we're remembering now the Creator and all that business there, there ought to be some loyalty that you and I have involved from our soul in our depths of our heart unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our whole duty and our whole loyalty is to Christ and Christ alone. In fact, somebody just got through singing about that. I want to say to you that your faithfulness to Christ will be remembered by the Creator. I want to thank God for the fact that we can love Him because He first loved us. I was thinking about, while others may wish to give us assignment and they've got all figured out what you ought to be doing and how you ought to be doing it and so forth and on, you know, you can go to 20 churches and you'll have 25 different ideas about what you ought to be doing. I want to give you exactly right here one passage that'll tell you what you ought to be doing. And that passage there is in verse 13 that we read. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And listen, are you living for God? Are you working with God, walking with God? Are you working in the light of the Scripture? Then that's, you fulfilled your duty. Now, there may be some extra things that you want to get involved in, and I'm not knocking that. But I got to tell you right now, the whole duty of man. I told you here a while back that there was a man called me up and wanted to know, could I run over in the Woden area? He said, I got a brother over there that needs to be won to the Lord. And I guess he felt like I could just jump off of my porch and jump in a vehicle or a bicycle or something and run over there. And said, I believe you can win him to the Lord. I said, well, then you come do it. He didn't want to. I said, why not? Why are you lining up things for me to do, but you don't want to yourself? I said all that just to be able to say this. Others may wish to give you an assignment, but make no mistake about it. If you've obeyed the word of the Lord, that's the whole duty of man. Whatever anybody else thinks you may or may not ought to be doing, shame on them. If you have obeyed the Lord, and by that I'm talking about the word of the Lord. I got to say to you that, if you will, you know where tithing came from? Word of the Lord. You know, we're bowing your head and giving up and trusting the Lord to cleanse you of your sin. Word of the Lord. Do you know where that getting numb and to be a witness with your lip and life? Word of the Lord. Do you realize? You see what I'm talking about? Listen, if you have done what the will of the Lord is. I was at a Bible conference one time, and preacher one got up, and he was beating everybody over the head that wanted to go hunting or fishing. I thought, man, I wish there was a season in he's made me want to go hunting and fishing. It wasn't long until he was jumping on the fact that he was eating us up about the fact that we ought to be not wasting so much money on Cokes and candy bars. I thought, I wasn't even wanting a candy bar until he mentioned it. I wonder if my wife's got a candy bar in her purse. Don't you look at me, Pius. I can see by looking at you, you're eating some Bluebell and some candy and stuff like that. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson here, you're going to find out that I want to thank God for you and for your faithfulness. Do you realize, know that for all these years, some of you have been here since I've been here and we started. And let me tell you, that's being at your post of duty, and what a commendable thing that is. That's why it insults me if somebody tries to come around and say, well, nobody wants to serve the Lord. Really? You're looking about this whole church right here and nobody in it wants to be able to serve the Lord? Or they just don't want to serve according to your dictate? God bless you. Thank you very much. And I know that's right. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it. It was right. It was right way back when you could all shout amen. And it's right now. See? In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find this world is not our home. I'm glad for your faithfulness and your consistency to be faithful to your post of duty at the house of God. In this lesson, last but not least, I want to say to you, there's an element here of leaving. One of these days, we're leaving. And by the way, you know, we've had some folks that left ahead of time. And sometimes I try not to argue with that. Life goes on. Does it make me sad? Sure. Sure it makes me sad. It made me sad about the first one that ever left. And you didn't even know some of them. I made a woman mad one time. She pulled 9 families with her. You was here. And boy, it's commendable that you're still at the post of duty. See what I'm talking about? I can't tell you how many times and how many places. I want to tell you what to do. If you're not careful, you'll get your eyes off your Creator. You'll get your eyes off what He summed up. And here's what He said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I tell you what breaks my heart more than any one thing is over these skirmishes and all these little old things and debacles that come up is them kids. All them kids. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I felt sorry for a little redheaded boy the other night. We were watching Logan play some baseball, and he got $11 from his mama to go get some popcorn. He showed back up, didn't have no money. Lost it. He's just grinning like a possum. I got to tell you, friend, I like to be able to see these kids as they're growing up. I remember Miss Abigail the day she was born. And my, looky here. She's already attracted a fine-looking gentleman that's laughed at an Aggie joke. How tall are you? 6'2"? 6'2". Boy, I'm telling you right now. I asked him whenever he first got here, and I walked up to him, and I said, "My, do you smoke?" "No, no." I said, "Well, what's stunted your growth?" "Well, let's see, growth ain't stunted, and we're glad to have him. We're glad he's here." But I can tell you right up front is that he's examining us. We're looking and examining him, but we're not looking nearly as sharp at you as her daddy is. That's just part of life. See? I want to say in closing that if you will, please, the Bible said that one of these days we're going to be leaving. We're leaving this world. We're going to be leaving everything behind. I hope you've obeyed the Lord and done the will of God. And I'm going to tell you right now is you're going to find out is that the Bible said here that we're headed to our long home in verse number 5 of the same chapter that we've been reading. And let me tell you right now, is I'm headed home. Do you realize, though, that God has given me a good home? God's given you a good home. God's given you. You've been faithful. You've been dedicated. You've been loyal. And let me tell you, when you come to the house of God, it ought not to be for flattery to make you feel good. It ought to be to give you some instruction and correction in righteousness. So that when you do back to your home, your own home, that you're able to keep things in line with the word of the Lord. I got to tell you right now is that I had a man in Louisiana, and he said, "I tell you, preacher, you've been preaching about the home and preaching about my place, and boy, God's been smiting my heart and this and that. I finally just broke down and told my wife, 'Honey, God wants me to be the leader of our home. God wants me to be able to lay down His law in our home. God wants me to. And she said, "That's good, hon. That's good. You can believe anything you want to." Of course, he done it like this. You see what I'm talking about? Well, listen, you ought not to be a devil and a slave driver, right, but you ought to be a loving, kind leader. Yes. You know what that does? Here, I'll tell you what it does. I know many of you ladies that are here, and it takes the pressure off of you. When somebody tries to ask you if you want to do this or do that, I'll have to ask my husband. And if your husband doesn't care one way or the other, that may be the reason why you're in a mess you're in. I want to say in closing that, if you will, we're headed to the long home. I'm going to leave the short home one of these days before, sooner than you might know. But I got to tell you, we're headed to the long home where we'll leave forever. In fact, is you'll find that in this chapter that's here that you're looking at, in verse number 6, he said the silver is loosened, the golden bowl is broken, that's the mind gone. And then he talked about the pitcher's broken, the fountain and the wheel and the, broken at the cistern. That means that the blood flow's leaving, the blood is going to be gone. It won't be but one of these days until finally is that everything's going to shut down. As you get older, things that you used to can pick up at a glance now it takes a little more effort. And moving along is pretty much, you know, I can still outrun my wife, but I can promise you I can't run as fast as I used to. And the reason being is because one of these days dust is going to return back to the earth from whence that it came. I want to say in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, don't turn there. To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, that's going to happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast that is. It's not going to be a process, not going to be a learning thing that we have to do. But you're going to find to be absent from the body. I mean, faster than you and I could blink or be able to measure in time. Could I ask you this here, Mama? Do you know the Lord that way? Daddy, do you know the Lord? Son, daughter, do you know the Lord that way? Well, you'd better come to know Him, because one of these days it's going to happen. I wonder why we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our musicians are coming. As we get ready to sing the invitation song just for a second, maybe God has been tugging at your heartstring, and maybe as a result of that, you just need